This is the Dave Glover Show with Dave, Rachel, and Kevin. Sponsored by Michael's Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com. Getting good at starting over every time.
Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX 205. If you're listening on 1120, check out 98.7 FM. And if you really want great sound, just go to Odyssey.com. You can download the Odyssey app on your phone or at home, and it has crystal clear digital sound. Sounds really, really good. Our buddy George Rosenthal is here from ThrottleNet. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Seems like
Thanks
it's been
for
a
having
while.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a little bit.
The first thing I want to ask you about was, I just heard this kind of in passing, that they had taken an AI and taught it to lie.
Yep.
You see this?
Yes, that was one of the things I was going to talk about today.
Yeah, it lied really well.
It lied so well, yes, that they can actually, it's now cheating. But here's the thing, it doesn't have intent to cheat. It has an intent to get to a certain goal. And the end point.
Basically, its intent is to please whoever programmed.
Correct. Exactly. Okay. Think of it like an ant. The ant's going to go to the end of where it's going to go no matter what. If you stop an ant, it's going to go around your hand. It will keep doing that until it dies. Same thing with AI. If it has a goal at the end, an end point, it will do whatever it can to get to that end point, even if it means trying to fool you. But it's not intentionally trying to fool you. Yeah.
So if you give it a mission, like someone created Wheeler the Master of Wolves image, if you say, show me Kevin Wheeler is the Master of Wolves, it has a mission. It's going to accomplish that mission.
Yes.
It's going to pull it all together.
In whatever fashion, even if you try to manipulate it, if that's its goal, that's what it's going to do.
So these guys said, lie.
Yeah. And it does. And I mean, it's tricked CAPTCHAs on websites. You know, the little, you have to fill or pick the every place you see a motorcycle, and then it lets you in after you put your password in. It's been caught cheating in poker. Online poker.
The Turing test, which was like Ex Machina and the imitation game where they're trying to convince someone that a machine is a human. Evidently, they've passed it over and over and over again.
Oh yeah, yeah. Have you seen the new robot, the
yes.
Elon Musk robot? Imagine putting that in AI in that, and it's walking around. I mean, it's got dexterity. It can pick up eggs and cook with its hands, even though it's robotic. It's got pressure plates. But yes, when you go into like Ex Machina, you're basically capturing somebody's essence of their personality and putting it into AI, and then putting that into a robot. Like you were talking, I heard you on the air a little while ago talking about how you could basically take grandma and make grandma live again.
A 61-year-old German man with terminal cancer is in the news because he spent months training an AI to act exactly like him so that it can interact with his family and answer questions even after he's gone. He's the first customer for a service called Eternos.
Wow. Now you're getting into some longevity.
Yeah, no need to freeze your brain anymore.
Right. You just, like the rumor of Walt Disney's
just
frozen
download
somewhere.
Your essence.
Man, there was what is the name of the movie called? Or not TV. There was a TV show where essentially your body was, they called it like a sleeve.
And, Carbon.
Altered Carbon. Everything about you is on a chip.
Yes.
And you can just be put into any body. And that's how it went in the future.
I'd still pick this one.
Yeah.
Hey, that's not funny.
I might pick one a little taller for myself.
What do you got in the 5'8 department?
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, look at that 6'4.
That's great.
So when do you think we will, because people keep, Elon said within 7 years, every household will have a $1,000 robot in it. Does that sound like crazy Elon talk? Or
No, I think that's very realistic. Extremely realistic. I was just at a construction and engineering conference, and walking around the conference is a Boston Dynamics dog. You know, the yellow dog that does all the tricks and all that stuff. And they use it as a sentry, literally at construction sites, to walk up and down the property and up and down the stairs to climb and report as security. They also use it, and they put a scanner on top of it, and they use it to grade out the land so that as the bulldozer is moving the dirt, the dog is telling the bulldozer where to go to make the ground level. I mean, I think that's very real. It's happening right now. I mean, the fact that I've shown you those glasses where you can walk around and you're live streaming from your sunglasses. These things are extremely amazing. And you know, the advancements now with Google's Gemini that's coming out later this year. Oh, man. If you get a chance to see the demo of Google Gemini, everything from she just points the camera out the window and says, where do you think I'm at right now? And just by looking at the buildings, it says exactly where she's located.
So what do we think about Gemini versus ChatGPT?
That's going to be that right now is the big competition. So ChatGPT just came out with their new version, GPT-4.0, and the O stands for Omni, meaning that it does many things now. So it's using your camera, microphone on your phone and tablet. They have a desktop app that's coming out now, so that it's basically open all the time to help you while you're doing things. It really is fascinating. I mean, we can actually try it real quick here.
Yeah.
If you want to try it out.
Yeah, try it out.
You know how live demos go. Hi, ChatGPT.
It decided it didn't want to talk to him.
Hi there. Yes, yeah. Live demos can be a bit unpredictable. How can I assist you today?
Yeah.
Well, my name is George Rosenthal. I'm actually on live on the Dave Glover Show on the radio, and I was just wondering if you could say hi to everybody.
Hi, everyone on the Dave Glover Show. It's great to be part of your live broadcast. How's it going, George?
It's going great. I was wondering if you could help me out. I'm trying to create a new song. And I was wondering if you could help me with some lyrics. It has to do, let's make it about the summertime and kind of lively.
I'm just making a noise.
That sounds like a fun project. Feel the warmth, the summer breeze. Life is easy, moving with ease. Summertime, we're feeling fine. Dancing in the bright sunshine. Laughter's ringing, hearts are light. Summertime, let's live tonight. Beachside bonfires, waves that crash. Memories made in a flash. Ice cream melting in our hands, music playing, life's so grand. Summertime, we're feeling fine, dancing in the bright sunshine. Laughter's ringing.
I was also wondering if you could help me out with what I'm supposed to eat tonight. I'm trying to eat healthy. What would you recommend?
How about a nice grilled salmon with a side of quinoa and a fresh spinach salad? It's light, healthy, and full of nutrients. For dessert, you could have some fresh berries or a small piece of dark chocolate. Does that sound good to you?
That sounds really good, but I'm not into seafood. Could you try something different?
Sure. How about a grilled chicken breast with roasted sweet potatoes and a side of steamed broccoli?
Yeah.
It's healthy, flavorful, and packed with vitamins. You could finish off with some Greek yogurt and honey for dessert.
Yum.
How does that sound?
That sounds really good. Actually, I'm going to hand you to my friend Dave Glover.
I'm not ready to talk to him.
And see what he has to ask you, if that's okay.
Of course. Hi, Dave.
She sounds like Scarlett Johansson.
Hi. This is Dave Glover. I was wondering what you could tell me about the Dave Glover Show on KMOX.
That means it's thinking.
The Dave Glover Show has been a staple of St. Louis radio for over two decades, originally airing on 97.1 FM Talk before moving to KMOX 1120 AM in 2021. The show is known for its lively mix of current events, news, politics, and a variety of other topics, delivered with a unique blend of humor and insight.
No, guilty.
Dave Glover, the host, has built a reputation for engaging discussions and a strong connection with the local community. You can listen to the Dave Glover Show on weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on KMOX. The addition of an FM signal has helped amplify their reach in the St. Louis area, making it even easier for listeners to tune in and enjoy the program. Hope this gives you a good overview, Dave.
Thank you.
Right on, it's up to 2 to 6 part. This is crazy.
So much,
a couple
Jackie.
Years yeah. ago. But
weird. So is this the same?
You're welcome, Dave.
Person, thank you. Is this the same person that is your girlfriend? Not yours personally, but is this the same?
No, so you can choose up to 5 different voices, and this, by the way, is totally free. Right now, you can go out onto the Google Play Store and the iOS Store and download the GPT. Make sure you get the actual OpenAI GPT app. It's totally free. It's extremely fast now in the text way of using it. It's so fast using text. I literally have it on as the first center app on my phone and use it for everything now.
For example,
so the description of basic weather. So it's so much smarter than the Amazon Echo, which I really cannot wait for Amazon to get on this and get something like OpenAI inside of the Echoes, because the Echo is great and all, but it's not a conversational piece. Did you notice how it felt like you're talking to a person? Mm. You can change their inflection and their emotion. You can make it so that they're always sarcastic, or they always, basically talk or agree with you in certain times, but at other times they'll disagree with you. But it's more, it's turned into really a more interactive conversation. And that's something that's fascinating for, like, imagine one of their demos is a blind person and he's holding his phone up. Now, he's legally blind, but he's walking around and he holds up the phone. He says, "Is there a taxi nearby?" And he moves the phone around and says, "Yes, there's a taxi right to your right. Stop right there and put your hand out to your left and you can flag him down." I mean, that's the kind of thing. He said, "Is it safe for me to cross the street?" Well, right now, no, the light does not show that you're allowed to cross the street. Just wait and I'll let you know. And then it comes back and tells him, "Okay, now the light has changed. You have the walking sign. It's okay to go across." So that's the kind of thing that is going to get into glasses, not just your phones anymore, but that conversational piece. So that becomes a member of the family, which is kind of weird to say.
And
but
this really is very Jarvis-like.
It's
from
very
Iron Man.
Jarvis. It's straight out of Iron Man. Absolutely. Yes. It's the ability to have a conversation and not have to dictate commands. You notice I didn't have to say her name. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't have to say, "Hey, Siri," or "Hey, whatever." I just start talking, and then she's always there whenever you need it. And then you can just keep your conversation going. What's wild is it will remember those conversations and then keep that as later reference down the line of how my personality is, how your personality is, and it gets to learn and know you as a person.
So it really can be dedicated to you.
Yes, 100%. And that's right now. This isn't something we're talking about in the off future. This is happening live right now. Go download it for free, and this becomes a friend that helps you out along the way. Or as Sam Altman from OpenAI said, this becomes the smartest colleague you'll ever have. This is your smartest person in the room that's always with you.
Let's take a break and come back with more of George here. If you guys have any questions for George, anything about AI, you can call at 314-436-7900-800-925-1120. 222 DGS. So on the break, we have George Rosenthal here from ThrottleNet, the IT guys. And on the break, they're showing me the image feature of ChatGPT. And he said, "Name an animal, a place, and a food." So I said, "Show me a cheetah eating pizza in Canada." And it thought about it for about 5 seconds, and then showed me a picture of a cheetah in the tundra eating pizza.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
It's crazy. So, okay, so you have ChatGPT, you have Gemini.
Yes.
Are they using the same ingredients? Are they just two different chocolate chip cookie manufacturers using chocolate and flour and sugar?
Essentially, the engines are different in a way that the way they reason and the way they do things. So they're taking the overall large language model. Yes, they're basically the same. But then they're adding, as we're advancing, which is very quickly, by the way, as we're advancing, they're improving on their own to do different things in the way that they think the marketplace will most respond.
And who's ChatGPT?
That's OpenAI.
So that's just a brand new company.
Yeah, so that was actually formed by Elon Musk, and then he got pushed out of OpenAI. They were literally the first to actually release something to the public. I'm not saying they're the first AI company ever. Of course not. So, AI's been in our cameras for a long time.
We've used this analogy a lot, but I remember back during the first Gulf War when the stealth bomber came out and the stealth fighter. And then we found out that we'd had that for about 12 to 15 years.
Yeah.
So if I can make a cheetah eat pizza in Canada, what can the U.S. government do?
Oh, it's got to be out of control. I mean, you're right. I mean, think in the 60s and 70s, you had the SR-71 Blackbird, that flew 3,000 miles an hour. And we didn't know about it for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And here, I can't imagine what they have. I really can't. It's mind-boggling to even see what we're allowed to use as the general public, let alone what they could possibly be doing. I mean, it's going to be a different way of if you look at the Boston Dynamics and you see a walking robot dog autonomously walking around a conference hall, your mind is just completely blown. Like, you can't understand it. It reacts to you. It moves away from you.
So it's a big conversation now, but it's still a conversation.
It is.
We're still living our lives pretty much the way we did 10 years ago, but a lot of people are discussing AI.
Yes.
How long until it's no longer a discussion? It's just a way of life.
That's a great question. I think the beginning of it all, this is the Model T era that you're looking at. Okay, this is us getting from a horse onto a two-cylinder engine. When Google releases that later this year, it's called Astra. When they release that, And it was just talked about a couple days ago. They're going to put this into glasses, just like my glasses I have on now. And when that happens, it will be a part of everyday life. Just it'll be your assistant, your buddy, your colleague, no matter what you're doing, no matter where you go, whether it be personal items such as grocery shopping or whether it's helping you at work, it will be with you everywhere all the time.
So what are the pedestrian sort of scary parts of it? I mean, is it going to memorize everything on your phone? Is it going to possibly, you know, share that with other people? Like, what are the things you worry about on a small scale, not a World War III scale?
Sure. Oh, gosh, no, World War III. You know, on a small scale, I'm very worried about what it keeps and memorizes about you, which is, thankfully, OpenAI put a feature in that allows you to erase its memory. Basically, it's a memory wipe, or you can at least choose what it can remember about you in certain areas. And I think that's going to be very important for security reasons, because if somebody gets onto that device that's not you, gets into that AI and grabs your whole personality, now you're talking about a whole different way of mimicking somebody's identity. And that's a very, very scary thing on a personal level that we all have to be very aware of. And thankfully, people like Sam Altman are calling for regulation on all of this, because as AI gets to know you and your family, and it becomes a part of your household. I mean, it sounds weird, but it's more than a dog as a pet, because this thing is helping you with everything you're doing throughout your whole life.
So other than making cheetahs eat pizza in Canada, how, for example, would your clients be using this, a dentist's office or a construction company?
The first thing, we use it at ThrottleNet for customer service. It's fascinating in the way that by the time you have put in your problem, the AI has already identified who you are, where you are, what your problem is. It's starting to work through the problem. And by the time it gets to our technicians, our engineers, it's already created a service ticket in our system. It's populated all the necessary information about you and your problem. And then it's given the engineer a recommended solution. So we're not talking about replacing jobs. We're talking about making jobs so much more efficient so that one engineer can handle so many more support tickets. And therefore, all that means to you is that the customer experience is amazing. You know, less than 2 minute response time turns into, oh man, okay, not only was it fast response time by the guys, but they already solved my problem.
Before this, an engineer may have taken half a day to work on one customer's problem, but this way they can take 10 different things at once because it's basically been solved by the time they get there.
Yes. Now, of course, AI is not perfect, so that's why you have to have the engineer looking at the issue, understanding the problem. But to get a boosted recommendation from the AI, to not have to complete any of the forms and data, all of it's just pre-populated for the engineer, now you're talking about making somebody's job so much more efficient. And in the end, again, this is going to happen across industries where our customer service levels go up, our efficiencies go up. This is not a joke. We did a culture survey inside of ThrottleNet. The results came back in large amounts of data. Imagine graphs and charts and everything. I opened up PowerPoint, went to Microsoft's Copilot, which is their version of AI inside of Microsoft Office. I uploaded the Word document with charts. I mean, this is a massive document. I said, I'm giving a speech, our presentation for 1 hour. I need a slide deck that includes all of this information summarized with enough slides to last me for 1 hour. Clicked a button, and in less than 5 minutes, I had my entire presentation done, including pictures, art. It grabbed pictures off the internet and brought it in. It took all of my charts that were in this Word document, broke it out. So what would have taken me hours to do took me 5 minutes. And that's where we're heading.
If you want to talk to George about anything IT or AI related, go to throttlenet.com/DGS. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks so much.
Dive into all things Cardinals on Cardinals Conversations, your go-to location for exclusive content from KMOX. Catch it on the Odyssey app or your favorite podcast platform. Stay connected with your team. Cardinals Conversations, where the Redbird talk never stops.
235 DGS on KMOX. Okay, let's talk some Cardinals. We'll not talk about the infamous bunt now. But, you know, a couple good games. Sonny Gray didn't do great in his last outing, but, you know, he's going to be fine. What are you taking from it?
So the biggest thing is that over the last week or so, but even really, you know, starting with Milwaukee, if you don't want to go back further than that, they're starting to get hits, right? I mean, like, they didn't score a ton in Milwaukee, but they got a bunch of hits in those games, which is just, it's a start, right? And then last night, you had another game where the offense was good. The night before that, you put up big numbers. So the bats are starting to come around. So if you just look at You know, these last two games, you've scored 17 runs. Some of that is the Angels being bad, making errors, you know, walking guys, hitting a batter with the bases loaded. But they're also getting hits, which is something they weren't doing before, right? I mean, when you look at, I think, I can't remember the exact number last night. I know it was double digits the night before. You had, I think, double digits in at least two of the games in Milwaukee. So the bats, yeah, last night it was 12 hits. So, like, they're starting to get more consistently productive at the plate. If you look at their numbers for the last week, they've gone up. Then the question is it sustainable? Is this, you know, I mean, the way I put it on the rundown is this because you're playing the Angels and they're playing worse than you? Or is this something that's the beginning of a trend?
Yeah, you said the next homestand's the real test.
It is. I mean, that's the what starts on Friday is where you're going to get your test. Because on Friday, you have the Red Sox. Now, the Red Sox are not a great team. They're a good team. But their starting pitching has been really good.
We have Anaheim again tonight?
Yeah, you got the Angels again tonight, off day on Thursday. And then you get the Red Sox. And the tough part about the Red Sox is their starting pitching is good. Their lineup's not great. You know, their bullpen has been hit and miss at times, but their starting pitching has been really good. It's been one of the stories of the year. Then you get Baltimore. They're one of the two best teams in baseball. Dodgers in the National League, Orioles in the American League, and they're not alone. Like, the Yankees are close. You know, they're good, but the Orioles are one of the three or four best teams. And then you've got the Cubs, and the Cubs are off to a good start, and they're in your division, and they're a rival. So it's a nine-game homestand. It's not the make or break the season, you know, ends on this if you don't do well, but it's a better test, right? If you can say, all right, for the last week we've been hitting a little bit, Milwaukee's starting pitching is not the greatest. Obviously, the Angels' starting pitching is not the greatest. Is what we're seeing just, okay, these are favorable matchups and the guys are going, or are we starting to see the lineup finally start to do something that's a bit more sustainable? And this homestand will help give us an idea.
Would we know if they'd made changes? You know, whether it was to Goldschmidt's swing or overall or anything like that, or are they pretty tight about that?
They generally won't talk about it. You'll hear hitters once in a while say, I was out early today working on, you know, where I start my hands because I got to get my hands in the right position, or I'm working on timing, getting my front foot down early or whatever. But mostly it's super subtle stuff that you're just not going to see. If they're asked about it, they're generally pretty open with those things because they're not secrets. They're just basic fundamental things.
Most of the time, when a batter's addressing a pitch, are they reacting to that pitch or are they guessing, like, this guy's intel tells me he's going to go slider outside, so I'm going to try and go the other way with it, and they're guessing? Or are they waiting to see that pitch come, and in the millionth of a second, whatever it is, they're making a decision, fastball up, I'm going for it?
That last part is less frequent now than it's ever been. Right. I mean, you will do that at times. Let's say there's a runner at third base and you've got two strikes. You're ready fastball first because it's the one you can't catch up to if you're not ready for velocity. But if you can see something different, if you can see spin, some pitches have a little bit. They look a little different coming out of the hand. If you can see that and recognize it, you just try to wait a little longer and put it in play. Like, you slow your bat down, essentially, is what you end up doing. That's harder to do now than it's ever been. Typically, it's not, I wouldn't call it guessing, but it's definitely educated guessing, right? You're looking at, what has this guy done to me before? What have I seen? What do the numbers say that he likes to do? What pitch is he having the most success with? What's the count? You know, as the count goes in your favor, you change a little bit, or you can. You don't have to, but you can change a little bit and say, all right, it's 2-0. Now I'm only hunting the fastball because that's what I hit best. And if it's not a fastball middle in, then I'm just going to take, and I'll get to 2-1, and I'm still okay. When you get behind, you've got to be more aggressive unless you're just willing to accept the risk of strikeout, which most hitters are at this point.
To what degree do you think the powers that be in baseball wring their hands and worry that pitching will continue or even increase the lead on hitting and it will become a more boring game?
Oh, everybody's worried about it. I mean, the league is worried about it. I'm sure the teams are concerned. And you'll know when you start hearing stories about more potential changes, right? So yesterday, we talked about some of the things they already did to try to increase action, right? We don't necessarily need more runs, because if you look at the averages, like, it might seem like a big deal when you'll say there were 500 more runs scored last year than the year before. But 500 runs in 1,800 games is not that noticeable, right? So the average game, instead of being 5-4, might be 5-3. You know, it's not really that noticeable on a game-by-game. but the action is noticeable. And that's why they wanted to emphasize the ability to steal more bases. Because things happening is what's entertaining. And
do you ever see a day when they limit the pitches? As far as, you can't throw that one. That's too hard to hit.
I don't know how they can. I mean, because
if a guy can do it with his natural abilities and no spitball or no scuffs.
I don't see how they can because, here's the hard part. Somebody's natural, regular fastball might look like somebody else's cutter. Might look like somebody else's two-seam sinking fastball. You know, somebody's cutter might look like a slider. So, like, if you're getting into a spot where it's very difficult to tell, or not tell, but it's very difficult to limit because some of it is just how your arm works, right? You can't tell a sidearmer you can't throw sidearm. I guess you could, but, if that ball's going to move differently than a person. So the way you throw, Dave, is the ball's going to move differently than the way I throw. Yours more sidearm. I'm almost straight over the top. My ball is going to be a lot straighter if I'm depending on how I'm holding it. But if I'm holding a four-seam grip, it's going to be straight. Yours is not going to be straight because the way you're holding it is going to spin the ball.
Has anyone backed their catchers up yet?
In what way?
Because of the catcher's interference?
I haven't seen any change. You'll see a change if injuries become regular, right? I mean, until then, you know, I pointed this out when it happened with Contreras, but he had over 1 million pitches the last 2 years. You have one broken arm. What do you think the odds are? The teams are looking at odds. They're like, well, the odds are you're not going to get hurt like that. And yes, there is the chance that it would, but there's also a chance you get hit in the face by a pitch. There's also a chance a foul ball. Even Contreras said it. He's like, look, there's a chance a foul ball hits me in the arm and breaks my arm. And like, you can't always take that away. So no, I haven't noticed any difference, but if there is, it's going to be super subtle.
I like our new catcher.
Yeah, Von Herrera's good. I mean
Páez.
Oh, Páez, yeah, he's really good defender.
Very soft hands.
Yeah, and he swung the bat pretty well yesterday because in addition to the bases-clearing double for his first big league hit, he also just missed hitting one out. It was just a deep fly out, but it wasn't that far off. They're in an interesting spot because Herrera is a better hitter than Páez, and they need offense. But Herrera is really bad at throwing runners out. Like, really bad.
Like, 0-26.
Hasn't thrown anybody out yet. And Ollie Marmol talked about it. They're working on that to get him a cleaner transfer, to get the ball out of his hand faster, to get him more accurate. You know, if you're going to miss throwing down to second, you want to miss on the first base side, not on the shortstop side. On the shortstop side, you're safe. But the problem is you've got to have the combination of three things. You got to have the velocity that you need, the accuracy that you need, and you need to get rid of the ball in about 5/10, 6/10 of a second. And you have to put all those three things together to throw a runner out. And he's not good at two of them. And it's always been a bit of a challenge, and it's a hard thing to fix in season. So now you have to worry, will teams with speed run on him more than you'd like? And it puts a lot of pressure on pitchers. Because pitchers have to speed up, and they have to be more conscious of it. So I'll be interested to see how that goes. You can definitely make changes on that and get better at it, but I haven't seen it yet.
So I saw an article in the Post today, as Goldie goes, so go the Cardinals. Is that alliteration, or is there some truth to that?
There's definitely truth, but I would just add, so as Goldie and Arenado go. I lump those two together. Those two guys make combined $60 million a year. Those two guys need to be productive. And again, Nolan has been better than Goldie, but the power hasn't been there. And I know he hit a home run the other day. He hit some balls hard yesterday that were outs. So I'm not saying it's not coming. I'm just saying that when he's slugging under 400, he's not hitting for power. And they need power from him, and they need that power from Goldie. So I just kind of look at those two as a tandem.
When a guy like, well, any guy, but especially Arenado, and I think of Burleson as well, they almost always, like Burleson almost always hits the ball hard. But a lot of times it's a line drive either to the infielder or to the outfielders. When someone's doing that, whether it's pros or your kids, someone's hitting the ball really hard, great exit velocity.
Yeah.
But if they're hitting it right at someone, there's just really nothing you can do, right?
You clap and you say, good job. Because there are going to be times where you hit it that hard and it finds a spot, or where you miss it and you get the little blooper. You know, I mean, like, but there's not, you can't change anything. If you change anything, now you're not going to hit it as hard, and now you're reducing your chances of production.
Brad Young, this is KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
252 DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. We have the think tank coming up 1 hour from now with Kara Spencer, David Barklage. We'll talk local, we'll talk state, we'll talk national. We've all seen the Great Pyramids of Giza and the Sphinx, and in between those structures, there's quite a bit of flatland.
I was wondering if you saw this story.
I did see this. Yeah, tell people.
So there's to me, I've seen two versions of this story. The one is the one that's we know for sure is legitimate, is that they've been using like ground penetrating radar and a version of that that's based on electrical signals, pulse signals that they found a chamber underground that's what, like 35 by 40 feet wide. And then it has a shaft that goes down to another chamber below that. And these are unexplored. And they think they're
that's
tombs.
Exciting.
Right. And they think they're tombs. There's another version of this. Have you heard the other version of this? I'm calling BS on the other version that I've seen, because I've looked at this written on the main stories from, you know, normal news outlets, and they don't mention this part. There's another story making the rounds, shockingly, on social media, that they've detected some kind of electrical pulse underground in that spot.
I love it.
I think somebody misunderstood the usage of the electrical pulse technology that they've to find this area. To say that they've detected some kind of electrical source under the ground. So, no, that part I don't believe, but the first part is definitely legit, and they are definitely going to be looking into it.
So forever in sci-fi, we've been talking about going faster than the speed of light, which is called superluminal. I didn't know that.
Oh.
And evidently a new paper has come out by some astrophysicists. We'll get them on the show because we love this nerd stuff, showing how we would do it. They can't build it, but evidently a lot of the scientists agree that they have solved it.
Oh, okay.
This is the way you would travel faster than light. It's called a warp bubble.
Yeah, yeah.
And which has been done before in different sci-fi movies and you know, television shows. But if you were observing the people in the warp bubble from the outside, you would sense them going incredibly fast. But inside the warp bubble, you would not sense movement at all.
Right, right.
Crazy.
Right. So... is that what they do in Star Trek? Because they used warp speed. I don't know if they described it in that much detail.
I don't know. I'm not sure they've gone into detail.
But that was their belief, right? Is that you're using gravity? You're creating not gravity. You're using electromagnetics to bend the space-time continuum, something along those lines.
It's always been about folding space.
Right, so you're shrinking the distance, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That's pretty crazy.
That is pretty crazy.
I want to be on that ride.
It's pretty fun.
Of course, apparently it sounds like it's not a ride.
Also, people who drink raw milk, which I guess is just exactly what it sounds like, straight out of the animal, they are insisting on drinking raw milk with bird flu in it.
Why?
They're insisting that the government allow them to find dairies that have bird flu and drink it so that they can build an immunity to it.
Okay.
By the way, every person who has studied this topic, not so much on the bird flu side, but says it is a terrible idea to drink raw milk.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like people that, like actual scientists that have said, like, it's not safe. There's so much bacteria in that. And there's a reason they learned how to pasteurize, because people were getting sick. So let's not do that.